Hi, I'm Sasha Merdall.
And I'm co-host Charles Howe.
And this is Grow Your Business Podcast, the show where we hear incredible marketing tactics to grow your business from small business owners, entrepreneurs, and more. You will learn how to grow your business drastically. Let's dive in.
With that being said, let's meet today's podcast guest, Jamal, owner of Jamal Maxim.
Hey, Jamal, how are you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, what I do is I help small business owners and people in leadership position in general. I help them make the shift from what I call scattered exhaustion to energized focus.
Awesome. So how did you get started into this?
Well, I really just got started because I like helping people. I like developing people, and I found the best way to do that is to help people grow in their ability to lead and their ability to connect. And so that really was really what got me started. Previously, I was a school teacher, taught in the elementary school grades K-8, and then became a principal of a K-6 elementary school, and then did some work at the high school. And it's a natural transition, you know, went from helping kids learn and grow to helping adults who were helping the kids. And now I'm transitioning to helping the business owners and people in leadership positions, you know, along with their teams.
Awesome. So since you have so much background into whether it's leading, you know, kids, adults, business owners, what is something someone could do to become a more effective leader, a better leader overall?
Well, I would say the number one tip, which may sound a little different, is be authentic. They have to be themselves. What I find, and the mistake I made when I, you know, was in my leadership position, is I listened to all the great content on podcasts, I read the books, and I just thought it was like a blanket, one size fits all type of situation. You know, John Maxwell said, do this, and so I do it, and I'm supposed to get those results. Not realizing that I have to apply what I've learned to my specific personality. So when I'm implementing those strategies, I'll be authentic. And so that's the number one tip, is to be authentic, because leadership is a journey and it's not a destination, and you grow in your ability to lead other people.
Awesome. So how important is emotional intelligence in being a leader?
Oh, it's extremely important. I would say it is, if not 80%, but at least 80% of what you need to do, because you have to be aware of what your team is feeling in the moment they are feeling it. Because what a mistake that's often made is we get a pulse on where our team is at one point in time, and we just assume that they are still in that emotional place or that mental place, not recognizing that people are more emotional than rational. Unfortunately, you know, people respond more emotionally first than rationally. And so we need to almost gauge them on a daily basis where they are emotionally, so that as we're communicating and interacting, how we want to present ourselves is actually how they are taking it in.
Definitely. So do you think anyone can acquire the ability to be great at having a great emotional intelligence?
Yeah. I mean, it's a skill set that can be learned, but it also takes sensitivity and just a heart for other people. And the skill set part is being intentional to be aware of, you know, just being aware of where people may be in that moment. And that takes the discipline. And I would say also being aware of where you are in the moment. Emotional intelligence is kind of two ways. It's being aware of the person you're talking to and interacting, but also being self-aware, you know, knowing when you're grouchy, knowing when you are a little intense because you're trying to get something done, and, you know, recognizing when you need to scale back and just kind of chill a little bit so that your interactions are positive and caring and, you know, and what they need to be for the moment.
Definitely. So what can someone do to motivate their team?
All right. First, you have to cast vision. You can't motivate your team to do anything if they don't have an idea of what you're trying to accomplish and where you're going. So you have to cast vision, and you have to cast it in a way that's exciting. You have to cast it in a way that makes it attainable, but still not be easy, and brings out the best in everyone, you as well as them. So number one, you got to cast vision. And two, you got to find out what really motivates them, because a lot of people assume that money itself is a motivator, when in most business and job situations, money is a motivator, but the bigger motivator is, you know, fulfillment and recognition and those kind of things. So you have to make sure that when you are motivating your team, you're giving them an opportunity to grow, you know, as individuals, grow in their role, and you're acknowledging them for their growth, acknowledging them for their work, but then also put other incentives in place, like, of course, pay, but other things like that.
Following that topic right there, how can a leader handle disagreements with their coworkers?
Depends. Are you talking about the leader disagreeing or two coworkers disagreeing?
Let's do both, so we can give, you know, people a perspective how to handle, you know, both scenarios.
Okay. So if you are the person in the leadership position and you're disagreeing with, you know, your team, you know, the thing is to listen. You know, you want to listen to their perspective, listen to what's going on, and then share your perspective and what's going on and try to find some common ground. Now, I will say this. There are a lot of leadership theories that will you'll see a balance of it. You'll see some that would tell you to take a real hard line approach because you're the leader and they should listen to you, and others have you take a real soft approach. I kind of go right in the middle, because I you want to preserve the connection and the relationship, because that's important. You want to preserve trust, because that's an important leadership currency. But at the same time, while you're hearing them and then you share your perspective and you're trying to help them understand where you're coming from, you do have to realize that at the end of the day, as the leader, you're responsible. So if you're not able to, you know, implement their suggestion or something like that, I mean, it is what it is. And sometimes you have to make decisions that people don't agree with, because leadership is about connecting with people, but it also is not a popularity contest, and you can't worry about being liked all the time or people agreeing with you all the time. So you just have to approach it from the standpoint of preserving relationship and trying to get an understanding as well as communicate an understanding the best way you can.
So I have a hot topic. It's, you know, I'm sure you heard the quote, leaders create leaders, right?
Yes.
Do you believe in that, first of all?
Yeah.
And awesome. So now, can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, I believe that, you know, I believe that that topic and that quote is very true. Leaders do create leaders, because I believe in the principle that you will reproduce what you are, not what you hope to be or desire to be. And so, but I also believe everyone has a degree of influence, which is a definition of leadership, regardless of a position. So you would duplicate who you are and what you are. And I think that is important, that as people in leadership positions grow, that they do create leaders. Now, they have to be intentional about it, because sometimes leaders don't want to create other leaders out of fear of not being needed, because it feels good to be needed, just being honest. It feels good when people need you, when they ask you questions, when they look to you. It feels good when you're able to direct stuff and see things come together. I mean, it's an adrenaline rush. But the goal is to duplicate not yourself, but duplicate leadership into other people and give them the opportunity to lead and live up to their fullest potential. And so a leader should be intentional about doing that. And they have to share what they've learned about leadership along with their experiences, positive and the negative ones that they can share, so that the person who's learning can take those life lessons and those leadership principles, apply it to their unique personality and style, and then grow as a leader.
So what do you think about the leaders, the individuals that are already in leadership positions, and I would personally, or we may be able to call them as bad leaders. Do you think they create other bad leaders, or do you think, what do you think about that? Because, you know, there are people in leadership positions that shouldn't be in leadership positions, but they're given that because, let's just say, they work at a certain position, a job, even their own business, and they've given it to somebody else. What do you think about that?
Well, I do think there are people in position who shouldn't be. Unfortunately, sometimes people are put in leadership positions, like you said, because of skill, and aren't taught how to actually lead, you know. And I've seen this in the education realm. You know, a teacher was really good in the classroom, had real good classroom management, good at instructing kids. So they pull that person, that teacher, out the classroom and want to make them a coach, not knowing that this person now has to learn how to coach adults, which is a totally different dynamic than teaching kids. And so I think that is true. And I think a person who is a bad leader or struggling in their leadership, you know, there are two outcomes that can come. They can reproduce another bad leader if that student is just taking everything they say as gold and not really filtering anything. But there's an opportunity for the smart ones or a more discerning one to still be a good leader, because you learn not only what to do, you learn what not to do. You know, I was in a situation where, you know, I was a teacher and I was leading my team, and I was at that point aspiring and really looking into going to becoming a principal. And there was a principal at that time who was a bad leader. Unfortunately, he was very insecure. He was very competitive with the person who was assigned to mentor him. So he was competing. He was too busy competing with his mentor and trying to feel needed that, you know, one, he messed up his own growth process because he was learning from someone who was really awesome. I mean, but for me, I was able to learn from watching that interaction, because I was like, hey, when I get the chance to be mentored by somebody with that skill set, I'm gonna listen. But then two, I was watching the bad leader and that just taught me what not to do. You know, I'm not gonna do these things that I've seen him do, which I believe made me better. So someone could learn from that if they have that perspective as well.
Let's just say somebody is, you know, a bad leader. What can they do? And they know they're a bad leader. What can they do to, you know, become a great leader, or even become, you know, the best version of their leadership abilities?
Yeah, because I don't think, now there are a few people who are just power hungry and it's just nothing for them. They just have to really, well, I don't want to say nothing. They have to do some internal work and get out of that desire for power and then change. But someone whose heart is to actually lead well, but they're just struggling, you know, they can, you know, for them, the first part of the work is done. Their heart is in the right place. They want to do the right thing. They want to treat people right, but they're just struggling because of whatever reason. And so it's an internal work then too. They need to really look at their own strengths and weaknesses. I would recommend doing some personality assessments. The COBE assessment is very great, as well as the DISC assessment, because the COBE identifies your natural tendencies, and then the DISC assessments tell some other, a different aspect of your personality. And once you look at that, then you can say, okay, all of these things that I'm learning about leadership, or should be learning about leadership, how does that, it goes back again to being unique. How does that apply to my personality? Because maybe the way I'm trying to lead is contrary to my personality, and I'm rubbing people the wrong way. And then, you know, so you do that, start reading books, listen to podcasts, do some development, but then also go to your team and just be transparent. This is the part, this is my personality, here's where I'm strong. And here is where you guys are strong. And I need you to help me by complimenting by offsetting my weaknesses. You know, because leadership, you know, there are a lot of myths. You know, sometimes leaders feel like they have to be the encyclopedia of knowledge. They have to be the most highly skilled one on the team. They have to be the LeBron James of everything. I mean, but that's not the case. You know, really, you should be able to have a team who is strong in the areas you're not, so that there's a great complement, so that you complement each other. And people who, you know how to play their position and play their role, you know, so that as you lead the team, you know how to support them. And so, you know, someone who's struggling can learn how to do these things.
You brought up something very important. You brought up personality. Do you think, yes. Do you think understanding your personality is so important? And after you figure out your personality, do you think then you can start to kind of more so work on that emotional intelligence, then slowly work on those, you know, leadership? How do you lead a team? How do you understand, you know, how is your team feeling and all those kind of emotions? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I believe you have to know yourself before you can get to know someone else. And the more in tune you are with who you are, it's easier to tap into, you know, other people's emotions, but also you can help other people identify, you know, their own personality traits and properly place them. Because a lot of times when you're leading a team, sometimes someone may be struggling simply because they're improperly placed. They have a skill set, but is not fit for the task they're doing or for the area they're in. But you won't be able to recognize that if you don't understand yourself, because you won't be able to see it in others. So, you know, those personality traits and learning about your personality to me is key, because you have to be able to connect with others and can't connect with somebody else if you're not connected with yourself.
As a leader, understanding what are other people's skills are just as important as understanding somebody's personality, right? Because if you just say you get provide somebody with an ability to be in a job position for X, Y, Z, and you give them a position for X, but they should be for Z, right? Then you know something's wrong. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, if you don't mind, I'm gonna share a story, because that I've seen that happen firsthand. When I was a teacher leader, and I was aspiring to become a principal. I was taking my classes and had a principal who was my mentor, excellent principal. And at this school, we had a teacher who was teaching sixth grade science. And I'll never forget this incident, because he was terrible. I mean, he was terrible. I mean, the kids did not listen to him at all. His class was always unorganized. It was just rough. And so I started to coach him, to help him out. So I'm giving him these things he could do to help to connect with the kids and deliver his lessons a little better. And he tried it, but it wasn't working. And I'm like, what's the deal? I teach those same kids. I'm doing what I'm telling you to do, and they work for me. And it was to the point where I could go to his classroom and the kids would listen to me. But as soon as I left, it would be an uproar. And it wasn't just me. I mean, other people could go into class and have the same result. It was like they listened to everybody but him. So my principal mentor asked me, you know, what would I do? Because his contract was ending at the end of that school year. You know, he said, would you fire him or would you give him another shot? So in my mind at the time, I was thinking, this dude got to go. He's not doing well. You know, the kid's not learning. They're just playing. We've wasted a year of instruction with them. Like, no. But what he did, because my principal mentor, what he did and the wisdom that he had, he gave this teacher a choice to go to a different grade level. And one of them was third grade, and I can't remember what the other one was. So that teacher chose to teach third grade science. So the next year, he was a rock star. Everything that we had talked about in our coaching sessions, he implemented. But then he expanded upon it and implemented more stuff. That class was so fun. Kids were well behaved. They were shooting like the little Nerf basketball things in the classroom, in the hallway. They were great. They had chants and cheers in their classroom. Every time they did something, they were working in groups and was just awesome. And so I'm like, this guy is rocking it out. His class environment is great. The kids are performing. I mean, they did good academically. Everything was on point. And so what that taught me was he was a rock star, but he was on the wrong stage. He was improperly placed. And so to me, it's essential when you have people on your team that you make sure they are placed properly, because they could be rock stars and if they're not performing, they could just simply be on the wrong stage. And if we're not careful, we'll let them go or get rid of them, which will hurt their confidence. And then they end up going somewhere else and rocking it out. And then our business and our customers are at a loss.
Definitely. That was so important, because like you just said, you could have a rock star in front of you, but you just position them in the wrong position where they can't excel. You know, that was such an important lesson right there. So who is your personal favorite leader and why?
I really don't have a personal favorite when it comes to leadership, because I will say this. I have one person who serves as my mentor for just life in general. And his name is John W. Stevenson. I mean, he does all kind of stuff. I mean, his background and resume is just very extensive. But other than that, I have what I view as next level guides. You know, I look at who can teach me what I need to get to the next level in different areas. Like I may look at someone for a business coach or someone else for this. Like when I was in school, I had a principal mentor, but we're still friends now. But since I transitioned out of education, he's no longer my mentor. And so for me, you know, I believe in our lives and along our journeys, people will come into our lives for specific time periods to help us grow. And we have to be sensitive to that relationship and get as much as we can and then move on. But I have one person, like I said, and this guy is very relational. He's a songwriter, you know, stellar nominated songs, producer, musician. He's formed an organization called Transformation in the Cincinnati area, where he co-founded it, which does racial reconciliation. He's a senior pastor, travels all over the world, speaks in Africa and everywhere else. And so he does consulting, author. I mean, this guy does it all. And so, but in light of everything he does, you know, he has a heart for people. And he's very approachable and demonstrates just great humility and care and loves his family and puts his family first. And so for me, I'm like, that's someone who can pour into me, someone who has prioritized his family and loves people and is still accomplishing great things. So that would be the guy.
So what would you tell to someone that doesn't have a leader and they're kind of, whether they're lost in their leadership position or they're lost in their business position, what would you tell to them to get to the next level of their leadership?
I would tell them to find one. You know, you cannot take yourself to somewhere you haven't been. You need a next level guy. You need someone to help you. You know, you need to, every Luke Skywalker needs a Yoda, you know, so you have to, you need that. And so sometimes the mentorship and development can come indirectly. It may be by listening to their podcast. Like you might listen to a John Maxwell or Michael Hyatt or a Jeff Walker or something like that. Listening to podcasts, reading their books, following them online on social media. So that mentorship may have to come that way. But you want to seek somebody out who, one, is authentic in who they are, and two, who produces the results they say they can produce, and has the heart that actually cares for, you know, the people they are mentoring. Because there are a lot of, you know, people try to lump me in a consulting coaching world. And there are a lot of coaches and consultants out there who want to tell you what they can do for you. But you have to check them out. You have to see, okay, is this person genuine? Do they have a heart for their students? Do they get the results they say? And are they a good fit for me? So when I look at their values, their core values, when I read not just their sales copy, but when I listen to them in their trainings or read what they say, does what they say and how they present themselves align with where I'm going? And if there's an alignment, then you take your time and check them out. If it's not, no matter how much business they do, then they're not a good fit, because everybody is not equipped to help everybody. You got to find the one that is right for you so that you can get to where you need to be.
Jamal, where can we reach you at online?
Yep, I'm on all the social media platforms. You know, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. My website is jamalmaxim.org. And I do offer, you know, free 30-minute strategy sessions. You know, people can go to my website and just schedule time with me and we can chat. So I'm very easy to reach.
If you enjoy the podcast, don't forget to give us a rating. It really does help out the channel. And see you next time.